Good morning, dear hearts. I've always wanted to say that. John Wright, of course, used to say that when he got up here to speak, and he was a terrific godly man. I hope you weren't expecting an early lunch today. All right, when I was talking to Keith about what microphone to use, he said, you know, the microphone gets passed from Tony to Peter to Daryl, and now it's passed to you. Oh, I said that wrong. From Pastor Tony, Pastor Peter, Pastor Daryl, now it's passed to you. That went over really well. All right, I've got the parable of the three of the talents. Let's see what sort of a dog's breakfast we can make out of this. While thinking what I would say this morning, I found myself wondering what I could possibly say that you wouldn't have already heard before. Many of you would have read this parable many times over the years. What else could you possibly learn? Then it occurred to me, nothing. We may as well turn off the lights, lock the doors, and all go home. Now, hang on a minute. Oh, sorry, wrong notes. That was the first draft. Ah, here we are, this is it. Okay, what we have here are three servants and their bags of talents. This parable had an immediate lesson for those who heard it for the first time and a whole series of permanent lessons for us today. The first thing to note is that this parable is not about seeking and finding salvation in the Lord. This is about those who count themselves as being part of God's kingdom and their role in that kingdom. With this in mind, I think we also can note that these servants are no strangers to the master. The master knows them. So what happens? The master is going on a trip. He assigns each servant their own respective responsibility and he leaves. The servants each get a number of bags. Various Bible translations refer to the contents of these bags as gold or talents or dollars or money. But for today, I'm going to use the term talent. A talent was a measure of weight, usually the weight equivalent to that of silver or gold, like kilograms or litres, rather than being something of value contained in the bag. So, as I said, I'm going to use the term talents today for three reasons. One, the most generic description for our understanding, I think, is talents. Two, talents can help us with a broader interpretation of what these bags hold as we operate within our own lives, like money, time, energy, effort, to name a few. To make talents even more personal, we can include gifts, abilities, experience, opportunities, and more. And the third reason for using the term talents is because I'm the one delivering this message today, so what I say goes. So there. To start with, I will give a focus on the third servant and his consequences. He decides what is best for him. He takes a bag, but just ignores the master's instruction. When the master returns, the servant is not just told to get out, he is branded as useless and lazy and humiliatingly thrown out. The master imposes his wrath directly upon this servant. For all the best that heaven has to offer for the first two servants, equally so is the desolation which is imposed on the third servant. Not just separation from God, but being actively inflicted with misery. As with many other references in the Bible, I believe Jesus is very clear about rewards and consequences for those who claim to be his followers. When reading this passage, it is possible that we who read it are thinking, well, I certainly hope that doesn't describe me. I think I'm okay. Yes, I can tick that box. I'm safe. But it's good to revisit just to keep me on my toes. We can easily just pass over it, but I think it's good to give some focused attention. Looking at this parable, there seems to me to be a clear message. I would say that it's telling us to explore what we can do with what we've got and do just that. Then receive the consequences or rewards for how we have acted upon that which God has entrusted us. Which is all very well to say, but what does that look like for us as Christians today? I could sit back and say, yes, I'm involved in this and that and the other thing. Many of us here can say that. Perhaps all of us can say that. In researching and thinking about this, I have been led down a path which for me is saying that it's not so much what I am doing or saying, but more about how I use my talents that have been entrusted to me. After all, look at all the wonderful things people here are doing. These people are doing more than these people over here. But not as much as these people over here. That must make you feel pretty good, mustn't it? That would make these people a two bags of talents type of people, would it not? I think this way of thinking has missed the mark entirely, as I understand it. More to the point, for whatever you and I are doing, do we pray, examine, and look deeply into what the Lord wants us to say and do? Are we pushing to move forward or just doing what we've always done? There is a phrase which gets used a lot these days and can be a trap if we're not careful, and that is, it's just the way it is. We can apply this phrase to a situation without taking the time to examine how we might address it within each of our abilities or circumstances. What the master has done here is assign each servant his duties according to his abilities. The Lord doesn't ask of us anything that is beyond us. But do we do that much? Do we go beyond the just the way it is? What the first and second servants have done is exactly as the master has required. Quantity doesn't come into it. They both get the same response and reward, and I would suggest the same great deal of satisfaction. It's worth remembering that God expects the best because he gives the best. How much greater is our satisfaction in him when we've done all we can with the bags of talents we have at our disposal? Let's not settle for the blandness of mediocrity. So why didn't the third servant do anything? In looking at the verse where he explains to the master why he buried it, it has been suggested to me through my research that he was afraid of getting it wrong. Fear. He feared that had he tried to make some sort of effort in any way, he would get it wrong, especially since the master was particularly hard to please. I like how the Message Bible puts it. Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound down to the last cent. Or as I like to put it, I've decided to go my own way. I'm not about to march to the beat of your drum. What you are asking takes me further out of my comfort zone than where I'm prepared to go. You want something from me? Then you get what I decide to give. Like the third servant, the time will come one day when each one of us will stand before the Lord and give an account on how we have invested our talents. I was once part of a small Christian group where one of our number said this, "I've been told I should behave differently, but this is who I am. I'm not going to change." This caused me concern then as it does now, particularly in this context of the talents. Vance Havner was a revivalist early last century. He made a statement which, when I heard it quoted a few years back, it really gave me a jolt. I thought, can you really say that? That really leaves no room for discussion. He said, and in our current climate today, I think you would certainly get an argument if you made this statement. It goes like this. If you are what you have always been, you are not a Christian. Just think about that for a second. If you are what you have always been, you are not a Christian. As I have pondered Vance Havner's declaration over the years, I think it has a direct link to the third servant. So what is he actually saying? 3 points. It's an expression of defiance. I will rely on myself and God will just have to work around me. 2, this prevents us from seeking the heart of God, seeking the outpouring of his grace, or placing before others the truth of the gospel which strengthens and fulfills us and potentially those around us. And 3, as times change, we get challenged within our own belief systems, and rather than confront that which is going on around us in our culture, it's just as easy to lay low, say nothing, and avoid the angst or stress. Fear. Do we seek maturity as Christians? Do we do away with childish things? Do we go from milk to meat as the Bible encourages us? It can be easy to sit back and say, I've done my bit, and leave it at that. There is a danger, I think, that we can tend to form God's teaching according to what we want, rather than informing what we want according to God's teaching. As Simon Manchester, an Australian evangelist, one put it, deep in my heart and your heart as well is a strange idea that we can control God. We do think, don't we, deep down in our heart, that we can draw him over when it's useful and send him away when it's not. This was pointed out to us last week. He goes on, the thing that really frightens me about this in my own heart is the stupidity of thinking that I can fool him, which I can't, or that he will play my game, which he won't. I have two stories which might help illustrate the multiplying of the bags of talents, showing how we can grow in our walk with the Lord. At the end of each story, I intend to offer a small time of quiet for reflection. The first story, there were two elderly ladies, quite advanced in years. Both their husbands had died, so for the sake of economy and companionship, they decided to move into one home. They were devout Christians and attended church every Sunday and were involved in a local charity. They heard about a visiting speaker who would be at their church the coming Sunday night. So along they went. The speaker spoke on this parable of the talents. He encouraged all those in attendance to seek out their talents and to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Then he finished with a prayer, asking the Lord to touch the hearts of each of the listeners and to be open to dive into their bags of talents. The two ladies prayed the prayer and thought it was nice, but really, they were too old, didn't have a lot of money, and their energy was lacking. They would just keep doing what they were doing and just plod along. Some weeks after that Sunday night, there was a knock at their door. The house was on the bay and near the docks. Ships would come in and the travellers from across, with travellers from across the sea and from other parts of the country. When they opened the door, there standing before them was a young woman with suitcase in hand. She explained how she had just got off a ship and needed accommodation. It would only be for one night, and then she would move on. They discussed it and decided to take her in. She stayed, had a couple of meals, and went on her way. A week later, another knock at the door. This time it was a young couple with their toddler child. They had heard of a place where they could get accommodation for a couple of nights, and here they were. The ladies took them in. This was happening quite a lot now. People were coming and going, staying one or two nights. As it happened, because these two ladies were so devout in their faith, they had several Christian icons throughout their house. Scenes from Bible stories and parables and Bible verses embroidered or painted, framed and hanging on their walls. When people stayed, many would ask about them, show some interest, then move on. Then there were those who would get into discussion and ask deeper questions and give their lives to the Lord before they went on their way. Eventually, the pastor of their church came for a visit. The ladies expressed how they were a little puzzled that these people just started turning up, a number of them coming to faith. The pastor reminded them of the church service earlier in the year where the speaker had prayed the prayer for people to dive into their bags of talents. He explained that through that prayer and their obedience to the Holy Spirit, people were coming to the Lord. At this point, I would ask if there is anything in this story which speaks to you. I invite you to take some time of quiet for reflection. This next story is of myself and my experiences where I made some conscious and deliberate decisions which very much changed the direction of my life and Sue's. For many years, I have striven to publicly declare my faith. One point in time which I think is important in this context of the talents is what took place a little over a decade ago. I was in a public forum where I made a verbal contribution. As I came to the end of what I was saying, I stated the following. If I am blindly heading down a path of mistakes, then I'm prepared to take that risk, but I'm also prepared to go to my grave with the knowledge that I tried to do something about getting the marginalised into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I did not know then how significant that statement might be. Since then, I've made some life-changing decisions which could be considered by some to be mistakes. At one point in more recent years, I was confronted with a situation in the workplace where I had to make a decision. As a secondary teacher, I was to accept what was required to be taught by all teachers or follow what I believed to be instruction through the Word of God. This was a yes or no situation. It was like the Lord was saying to me, well, you have made all these grandiose proclamations. You talked about being prepared to make mistakes in my name. You talked about being prepared to go to your grave for me. So here it is. You have a decision to make. What's it going to be? Are you in or are you out? Just remember, whatever you decide, it's going to cost. It's old, it's dirty, it's tatty and ugly, but it has a story behind it. In the end, this situation for me was a bit of a no-brainer. For years, I had planted my flag, so there was only one way to go. I left that job without having another job lined up. By leaving, I can't believe this is happening, I'm starting to choke up. By leaving, I was going into an unknown, unplanned future. Since then, I have had to make a number of similar major decisions, which again, could be considered mistakes. There is a small group of people who have been following the direction my life has taken. They asked me this question: what do you hope to achieve through your actions? How are you feeling? Uncomfortable? I responded with the following, and this was from my email. The main reason I do these things is to achieve something I have already achieved and continue to do so. In other words, what I am saying to this group is I have achieved what I have set out to achieve and continue to achieve, and that is to obey God's word and his leading as I understand it. The results, although important, are not the ultimate aim. My obedience in the face of fear was how it might look to others is what is at stake. I believe and hope that today, perhaps the bags I invested back then are now becoming 2 or 6 or more. At this point, I would ask again, if there is anything in this story which speaks to you, I invite you to take some time of quiet for reflection. What I would like to point out here is that in the first instance, what the two elderly ladies had done was incorporate this new ministry into their everyday lives. It took some adjustment, but they were obedient to the Lord's calling on their lives. Well done, good and faithful servant. In the second story, the decisions I made over a number of years now required some substantial life changes, but I have striven to be obedient to the Lord's calling on my life as I understand it. It is my hope that with all the mistakes I've made, the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. In each case, and many others like these stories have people who have been confronted by fear. Each one could have said, this is more than I want to do. I am too fearful of the consequences. Just what the third servant was saying. Remember, the master didn't give them any challenges they couldn't handle. Each bag of talents was within their abilities. So I would put to each individual person here today, are you using the bags of talents the Lord has placed before you? Or do you just plod along? I would encourage you to seek the challenges that come your way. Don't just wait for them to drop in your lap. Go and find them. My dad, Bill, had the philosophy when it came to the Christian life. You don't have to wait for a clap of thunder when something needs to be done. Just go and do it. It was painful living with him sometimes. If something pricks your spiritual conscience, then I would suggest it's something that should not be ignored. Something which needs to be done, or alternatively, and just as importantly, something with which you should have no involvement. Or something which stands between you and your sister or brother in the faith. Something which needs to be addressed. That's one buried bag of talents of which the Lord is saying, go and dig that up first. The American evangelist Ronald Dunn once said, I believe God will not let us miss his will without knowing it. I believe God is faithful, and if I miss his will, I do so against my better judgment. It is important not to mistake this parable as calling on you to necessarily do more or give more. This parable is calling on you, regardless of age, skills, or experience, to push your fears aside and have a go with what you've got. There are people here now, right now, who are exploring new directions and ministries. Not because they are driven by necessity or fearful consequences if they don't, but by their desire to please the Lord. William Wilberforce said, "True Christians consider themselves not as satisfying some rigorous creditor, but as discharging a debt of gratitude." We respond to the great and powerful love which pours out from our God. We respond to the great and powerful love which is our God. As was pointed out to us last week, obedience begins with a call to listen to God, and having listened, we then have the tools to be obedient to his instructions. And the reason for our obedience, his love is the reason, his great and powerful love. I encourage you to be receptive and obedient to the love and guidance of the Holy Spirit. People around you can guide you, but in the end, it is between you and God. Just like the servants, there was no teamwork and it was not a group project. Each of these servants were on their own. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near," says Isaiah 55. While God is near, please don't miss the joyful rewards and satisfaction of obeying him, while at the same time overcoming your fears. Which brings me to this church collectively. In the past, we have struggled, and there will be challenges before us in the future. But if you can cast your minds back to February, you will remember we had a time of dedication for all those involved in ministry in this church and in our missions. All those involved were asked to come up here to the front. There wasn't much room when everyone got up here. There is a lot going on in this place when you consider how small we are in number. Just look at the involvement as we strive to further the kingdom of God. I would like to encourage us to pause on this day and reflect on our great God, the creator of the universe, how he is looking on at our efforts and saying, if I may be permitted to say on his behalf, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's celebrate and revel in the glory of our God. Have we anything to fear like the third servant? I say no. And it's not just me who says no. In Romans 8, Paul says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. The person to whom I answer is Jesus Christ." Paul goes on, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we look at the gifts and abilities and experiences that God has given us, how can we do anything else but succeed and achieve for the kingdom of God? And with that success, we can welcome more opportunities or that extra bag to further his kingdom. Is this not a most wonderful and triumphant thing? At the beginning of the service, Keith read from Philippians 3, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We are the victors, victors with Christ. For us to live is Christ. There are trials to be faced. Fear can be so crippling, but let's keep our eyes on the prize for which Christ has called us heavenward. We have nothing to fear. Ronald Dunn again. "There's always more involved in obedience than just the act of obedience. Every simple act of obedience you and I do for the Lord has farther-reaching consequences than we would ever imagine." You may have heard the expression, "Be careful what you wish for." A cheeky little twist on this saying changes it around slightly to, "Be careful what you pray for." But for this morning, I would like to embolden you. Don't be careful about what you pray for. When you pray, coming to the presence of the Lord God deliberately, with awe, with reverence, with intent, with purpose, with wonder, with courage, expectantly, eagerly seeking out the will of God as collectively, or more specifically in this case, as an individual. You dive into his bags of talents, which he has generously placed in your charge. I wonder if at this point you are feeling the presence of God around you. I'm going to take up one of these front seats, Gordon, and I'm going to sit there for a short time of quiet, and I invite you to remove any distractions, perhaps close your eyes, and just be with the Lord. Speak with God, listen to God while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. After a short time of quiet, I'll come back up here and draw us together again with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, you know the hearts of each person here. I would ask that you confront each one of us, and as we have listened for you this morning, place within us the desire to dive into the bags of talents you have placed before us, and to be open to the opportunities that you reveal to us. Keep reminding us, Lord, that we have the victory in you, and as such, we need have no fear. We know we are not alone, and that our strength comes from you, Lord Jesus, as you work your purposes out through each one of us. Amen. Keith.